This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at worldsweeper.com, and we're speaking with Bill Billings, who is the maintenance superintendent for MoDOT, which is the Missouri Department of Transportation, and he is going to weigh in on what their experience has been with the Gator Getter machine. Thanks for talking with us, Bill.
That's quite all right. Enjoy doing it.
Well, so tell me about what your experience is, and I guess also what MoDOT was trying to solve as a problem, you know, how that would affect the sweeping industry, and anyway, your experience with it, if you would, Bill.
Well, we do a lot of sweeping, of course, like most DOTs, and especially around the barrier, and you know, we come across some debris that actually gets in the road that's a little too big for the sweepers to pick up. You know, like a lot of tire treads. We come across stuff like, you know, you name it, you know, out there. You know, big pieces of wood or pieces of you know, furniture even, and the occasional, you know, here lately a lot of roadkill that seems to, you know, kind of hamper the traffic. And sweepers don't generally get that. Plus, you know, they're a little slower. Our traditional way of taking care of that would be to send a couple of TMAs out there. And then we'd have the front truck that would have a couple of people in it that would get together and pick up the debris and try to, you know, do it in a safe fashion. That puts them on the road, of course. So I was looking. A friend of mine had told me that there was something on the Internet about this under YouTube about a debris removal tool. And so I went to it and was just doing a little bit of research and come up with, Walter Hopkins Gator, his company. So I called him, and he was delighted to talk with this very interesting fellow. And so, you know, in the course of time, we kind of got together, and I ended up with one. There's only four of them in existence at this point. Now, he's probably building others at this point, but two of them are at his shop, one of them is in Australia, and I have the only other one here in North America. Well, you know, from that point on, I was extremely interested because it just seemed like a very simple tool. It basically sets on the front of your equipment like a snowplow would, and it looks sort of like a 48-inch barrel, I guess, you know, just kind of a barrel sideways setting basically where a snowplow would set. And it has an opening in it. It has a little shelf that's set in halfway through it, but it has a blade there on the bottom of it. So when you come across debris, what it does, it just encounters the debris and swings it around the inside of the barrel and lands up on the shelf. You know, the thing about this, though, you have to hit it at about 45 to 50 miles an hour because you have to have the centrifugal force that takes it around the loop of the barrel and sticks it up on the shelf. So your operator has to be pretty confident in his ability to hit it squarely on. So we, you know, finally took possession of it a couple of weeks ago, and I've had an operator out with it. Operator obviously loves it. It's hard to get it away from him, tell you the truth, and he's picked up everything from tire treads to pieces of rock to, you know, debris to, yes, we even pick up some deer and some dead raccoons and, you know, possum and whatever else, you know, kind of encounters traffic out there that would cause it to slow down. Traffic really doesn't even know you're there, honestly. You know, they just know that traffic is flowing at 55, whatever the speed limit is, miles an hour, and you're not impeding traffic at all, and you just pick it up in the course of driving down the road. It so far hasn't caused us any problems with any stuff being thrown from one side or the other. But like I said, your operator has to be pretty confident about it. It basically lowers like your snowplow would, and when you encounter that debris, it will just kind of slip up inside of there, put it up on the shelf, and then you're going on down the road. In the case of you know, the deer, especially, we just suck them up. You know, basically, it just kind of puts them around, puts them on the shelf. We take them directly to the landfill. Has a little lever on it. You pull the lever, and automatically, you know, kind of folds out there, falls out, and the stuff is, you know, emptied the debris removal is extremely simple. And, you know, you're there at the landfill, they take care of it, and your operator at this point never touches any of the dead animals or, you know, if it's debris like tire treads, we take them, we separate them out, and we actually recycle the treads from our facility on town to a different facility that actually processes them, and we recycle it.
Can so you, let me break in to ask about the tire treads. Can you then pull off to the side of the road, your operator, and, take the tire tread out, throw it in the back of the pickup, and move on, or how does that work?
Sure. Yeah, it's exactly what we do. You know, the operator, matter of fact, I had sent him down I-70 with a median barrier that works real good up against the median barrier, and, he basically just picks up the tire tread and finds a safe spot to move off onto the right-hand shoulder. And then he throws it in the back of the truck and then goes on down the road. It's a very, very simple kind of, geez, why didn't I think about that type of implement that works very slick. We did notice the first time out, and Walter actually told me, he kind of warned me about this. First time out, we were having trouble with the tire treads kind of flipping up. They seemed to kind of not want to flip up. One of the problems was the operator wasn't hitting them fast enough, and then the second one was that he told me just to spray a little bit of WD-40 up there if you notice that, and it'll kind of slick that ramp up so it just cuts down on the friction and it flips it right up on that shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that was just as slick as it could be. It worked very, very efficiently. We have made some suggestions for modifications. We have suggested maybe a different blade design. His original design was one of more like a belted fabric, or it almost reminded me of a tire tread itself, as the blade engaged the road, but it seemed to wear a little bit. So we found some nylon, pretty thick nylon that we cut in half and, stuck up there as a blade. It kind of reminds you of the same stuff cutting boards are made out of, and that wore very well. I'm sure something like a rubber snow blade would work as well, hopefully that comes out. And I think, honestly, this one was kind of manufactured for, the weight was more manufactured for a one ton, so it's just a little bit lighter duty, because of the weight requirement for a one ton. And since we're putting them on our heavy duty trucks, our single axle trucks, we don't have the problem with weight, so I suggested maybe making it out of a little heavier material. And I would also like to see him put a little bit of a wing, not really a wing, but just kind of an opening on the side, just kind of maybe a ramp or a chute, for lack of a better term, to kind of funnel it in. That way, take care of that stuff that's right on the barrier, and you don't have a problem tearing that outside wheel off. There's little wheels that kind of come down right as it engages the pavement. It kind of sets on these wheels, and they kind of gauge how it sets on the pavement. And if you had a little shoot out to the side of it where it just kind of would funnel things into the opening, that might work as well. So he's taken those suggestions under consideration, and I'm sure that the Gator Getter 2 will be a somewhat improved model.
Mm-hmm.
But as it sets now, it's so much better than the way we have had to do it in times past. So much faster, cleaner, quicker. It's just a good product. It's one of those things that you look at and say, that one makes sense. That one makes sense.
Well, let's talk about you're an experienced street sweeping guy, and so am I, and that's the industry we're talking to. I see a couple implications for this. One, of course, is the straightforward, let's get the guys off having to get out of a truck in dangerous situations, attenuators, which are expensive, and that whole process is anytime you're stopping on a freeway, it's dangerous. And it takes a lot of time and so forth. So, and of course, you'd have to have typically more than one operator, and the cost goes up. So are there implications for going out in front of a street sweeper, a broom sweeper, or an air sweeper I mean, a part of that is on the side of the road as well. Can you, are you able, because you have to pick it up at speed, are you able to clean up the tire treads that are kind of partly on the shoulder, which would be in the way of the of a sweeper?
Oh, sure. The only thing that you really require is a hard surface and at least somewhat level. You know, so your shoulder works very well for that. Matter of fact, we've picked up a lot on the shoulder. The thing with the shoulder, though, you have to watch out for that outside wheel that you don't hang it up on the barrier, you know, especially at 45, 50 miles an hour. But, you know, any place really that you can snowplow, you're going to be able to pick up debris. I see that as a great benefit to run in front of the sweeper, kind of picking up the big stuff. Now, you know, it's not going to work to just keep it down and, you know, try to motor through everything at 45 miles an hour because you don't have enough storage capacity in the barrel itself. But, you know, for that bigger stuff, like tire treads is absolutely perfect. And, you know, other debris that seems to be, you know, the stuff that's difficult for the sweeper to pick up, it would absolutely work very well. And you can do it at the higher speeds, keeping people off the street. You know, that's one of the most attractive things about it, in my opinion, is it's saving lives. We had a motorist assist operator several years ago that, you know, stepped out in front of a truck in the process of removing debris, and you know, I mean, unfortunately, that was a tragedy that occurred, and you know, we don't have to worry about that happening in that particular situation if we're using products that will keep our people off the road. So, you know, safety was a great consideration. Efficiency, you know, you actually hit it right on the head when you're talking about the efficiency and going before your sweepers. You know, your sweepers obviously can't move that fast, but, you know, you can get through an area and clean it up and be down the road several miles by the time, you know, the sweepers even make it to that point. So it really facilitates that process. Now, we only have one, at this point. You know, obviously the plan is hopefully to get more. We'll have to see what resources do and how the future treats us, but, you know, from this standpoint, I'm definitely looking for more, and I would be, you know, much encouraged if Mr. Hopkins, you know, did kind of incorporate some of the suggestions, which I'm just absolutely positive he will. He's a very receptive entrepreneur to that type of thing, and I just see that as a great benefit to most DOTs to have the extra available tool to run in front of sweepers and to take care of that stuff that's, you know, you may not actually need a sweeper for tire treads that are in the middle of the road. You know, I mean, it can just go so much faster. But as far as any benefit to a sweeping operation, sure, I think it's a great addition to the toolbox, if you will.
Well, there's one area that I'm optimistic about this, and I've long been an advocate of really evaluating the sweepers that you use for different types of sweeping to maximize stormwater runoff pollution removal. And I know that the tendencies throughout, especially in DOTs and Caltrans and places like that, is to use broom sweepers because you're faced with things like tire treads that are not going to go up an air sweeper 12-inch, 10-inch tube. But at the same time, we know that when you use a broom sweeper, some studies have shown that you're leaving at least 500 pounds per curb mile of typically small micron debris. And we also know that in the smallest material that's on the ground, up to, say, 250 microns, there's only about 10% of that on a city street. I think the amount on a highway is less well known and documented. But in that typical 10% of the smallest debris load on a city street, we have up to 60% of the heavy metals, phosphates, and other pollutants are attached to the small material. And it seems to me that this may open the way to having people such as yourself be able to evaluate that in areas where you're having difficulty meeting your NPDES and other EPA stormwater runoff requirements, that you would be able to opt for an air sweeper to be able to go, you know, because you have a gator getter in front of you where you're not going to have to worry about the tire treads and the big stuff. You might be able to utilize an air sweeper rather than a broom sweeper in some of those situations. Is that anything you could comment on?
Oh, sure. You know, I think you're absolutely right. The gator getter has, we have picked up stuff as small as hitch pins or, you know, bolts that fall off of vehicles. So, I mean, it's not just limited to the big stuff, you know, but it will also pick up some of the smaller stuff. So that, you know, would typically free up the space in a you know, a vacuum sweeper. I think that along the lines of ease and probably facilitate the whole process, it would probably depend on the amount of debris you would get, you know, next to the barrier or wherever when you are sweeping the curb. You know, I mean, it may be a little more difficult to go at higher speeds in on a less traveled road, you know, something like a minor route or a supplemental route. But once you get on an interstate or a route that you can keep your speed up to 55 miles an hour, I think you would be fine. It takes some skill from your operator. You know, I mean, we don't normally suggest plowing at those speeds, obviously. You know, we try to keep our snow plows somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 miles an hour. So, you know, it takes just a little more skill level. But, you know, our particular employee has really gotten used to it very quickly. So, I mean, I see areas where you have, you know, tight curbing may be somewhat of an issue, or if you have narrow spots along the barrier where you may not have the full advantage of you know, the gator getter, that may hamper you somewhat. But if we're just talking about interstate sweeping, yeah, sure. I think that, you know, going ahead of it is definitely going to facilitate the removal from an air sweeper, by all means. Broom sweeping, yeah, I agree with you. You know, it doesn't get it quite as clean with all the small stuff. You know, and we do quite a bit of broom sweeping, but we also do, you know, a significant amount of vacuum sweeping as well. So I think either approach is going to be a great addition to either approach, you know, whichever way you decide to go.
Well, it gives you options, and I think that's the, you know, the key element. And I just can't help but comment on what your operator's response would have to be. It's, you know, I get to do what? You want me to do what? Okay. I can see why it's tough getting it away from them.
Right. But, you know, in times past, you know, picking up dead animals was not the most glorious or glamorous part of the job, you know. But
and the cost for replacing all those seat covers is expensive, too.
There you go. There you go. And, you know, and here as of late, you know, I mean, that we have one operator, and he basically just kind of runs the area, and it's efficient, it's economical, it's clean, it's safe, and it just makes sense. It just works.
Well, that's probably a great place to leave it. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to, you know, talk about this. And I think it has the opportunity to and possibility of really changing the game as in terms of going out in front of sweepers and really, you know, otherwise, too, where you can just dispatch your machine out and, you know, go get whatever's reported that's there, and, you know, dead animals are a big part of that. And as you and I talk about this, we're in the summer of 2011, and you were saying it's in the 100-degree range, and that's not exactly like keeping meat on the fridge. So
no, they get ripe fairly quickly. You know, it's a parting comment. I don't want everybody to think that it's a cure-all, because there are very, very few cure-alls in the world. And this is not one, but it is a great tool, a great additional tool to any resource any vehicle fleet resource or any implement resource that that somebody might have. As far as, you know, sure, there's development costs up front, and sure, there's liability, you know, insurance from the manufacturer. But taking all that into consideration, you know, I think it's still a great tool, and it has great potential to be a game changer for the sweeping industry. I just think that it's just one of those things that you just see, and it just makes sense.
Well, it certainly seems like that is the kind of product it is. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, that's quite all right. Thanks for calling.
We've been speaking with Bill Billings, who is the maintenance superintendent for MoDOT, Missouri Department of Transportation. Thanks again, Bill.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.